Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. More than 138,000 Americans have died since the COVID-19 pandemic struck the United States. Arguably, the lion's share of them would still be alive today if it were not for the deadly disease. It is also likely that the unexpected deaths caught families off guard and unprepared for the sudden losses. Well, tonight, we'll talk about getting your end-of-life affairs in order. Are you ready with your exit plan? My guests are Rhonda Green, founder and author of the book, My Exit Plan. Also joining us are Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. If you have a question about end-of-life affairs, your last will and testament, trusts, what happens to the money when you're gone, and your property, and how do you distribute it? All of that, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rhonda and Muriel, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Let me first start with you, Rhonda. How would you define an exit plan?
Okay, well, an exit plan is a combination of documents, your will, just your power of attorney, everything that you need so that when your time comes, your family will have everything they need in order to make your arrangements.
Mm-hmm. That seems like such a short list, but obviously, depending on what you have, I'm sure it can be much more complex and much more lengthy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they'll need your will or a trust, a pour over will, power of attorney, medical power of attorney, advance directive, your banking information, your life insurance information, military discharge, your obituary, because only you know you better than anybody else. If you're going to have a service, your draft order of a service, there are just a lot of things that your family will need to know so that they're not trying to make decisions at an emotional time. They'll know in advance, you know, everything that you have and what all of your wishes and desires are.
Muriel, why is this such a difficult thing for families to talk about?
Well, I would say, first of all, we really have this vision of death and the end, and no one really wants to sit down and have a conversation about death and dying. That's one reason. And then the other reason is, who's going to get what can often turn into a very interesting or energetic conversation within families. You know, you find out the most about a family when someone dies. And we start distributing assets and property. And it creates this emotional energy, which sometimes some families never heal from. But the importance, and I'm really glad, Harold, that you're having this conversation, is the importance is having this conversation before so that you can actually smooth things out. Mm-hmm. And as the other guest has said, that you create an atmosphere where there's not a lot of drama when that last moment actually occurs.
How do you do that? Because as you just suggested, there can be, when you talk about drama, it can be a whole Hamilton play of drama.
when we
lose a loved one, particularly when it's a loved one who has a lot of assets. I cannot tell you the number of horror stories that I've heard, even for people who have very little. When a loved one has passed, then you have people literally walking in the house and raiding the house. I want that painting. I want those dishes. I want that silverware. I want that sofa, because there is no information. So, Rhonda, how do you start that conversation?
Well, you know what? One of the important things is having that conversation. Then you can say to your family, I've already decided what I want to do. Now, you may not want to tell them what you're going to do at that time because you may get to your grave a little bit sooner. But you want to share with your family, hey, I've put my will together. I've done all of these things, and I want you all to know about it. But I think my biggest pet peeve that I like for people to know is that dying without a plan, it causes loss of property and benefits. Division in the family is what we're talking about right now. And what happens is if you die without a will, and someone is left out, or they don't get what they expected, or the state winds up taking everything over, it just becomes a mess within the family. And so it causes the family to be divided, and it's just a whole, you know, a whole nother story.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about your last will and testament and all of the other things involved with your end-of-life financial plans. If you have a comment, if you have a question about it, give us a call. Lines are open again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Muriel, first things first. If you have nothing at all, what's the first thing you want to do?
If you have nothing at all, and
nothing.
You're,
when I'm sorry, when I say when you have nothing at all, in other words, if you have no will, if you have no trust, if you have no documents at all that have to do with your exit plan for life, what's the first thing you should do?
Well, it's a three-step process. And the first process, and it's going to really sound very simple, but you've got to look at where you are, what's your current financial status, and then inventory of what is it that you have and what's going to need to be addressed when you're no longer there to address it. Then the next part is, so what are the goals? You know, if one of your personal goals may be wealth transfer, because you want to actually ensure that future generations are able to build on what it is that you have. And you need to sit down and you need to write down, what are those goals? Who has played an impact in your life? And then the next part is, it's just like setting up our basic financial plan when we say a budget. The next thing is, how are we going to go about doing this? Are there individuals that are currently relying on the income that you bring to the household in order to survive? If so, then we've got to look at how are we going to address that. Are we going to, do we need to put life insurance in place? And if we don't currently have life insurance, and then also understanding that life insurance has a holding time. So you can't get life insurance today and die tomorrow and think it's going to pay out, because it doesn't. And so sitting down and actually mapping all of this out, I personally suggest that, you know, you don't have that conversation with individuals in your family directly, because as our other guests have said, that might create an opportunity for you to exit sooner than you expected. Mm. Because, it is written that money answers all things, but the love of money and things can be the root of all evil. And that's unfortunate, but that's a reality. But sitting down and having that conversation with a financial planner, or sitting down and having that conversation with an estate attorney, that can help you look at where you are and then where it is, what the goals are that you want to achieve, and then what the steps are in order to do that. And it's very important, because as your other guest said, dying without a plan, if your purpose in life was to live and then to die and allow the government, local and federal, to reap the benefits of the sacrifice that you actually had here on earth, then die without a plan. Mm-hmm. But if that is not your goal, then it is very important that you take the time, even with yourself, because part of the challenge is we don't even want to have that conversation with ourselves. I need to plan to die, because we would like to believe we're going to live forever.
Yeah, absolutely. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about getting your end-of-life affairs in order. What do you need to do for your exit plan? And as it relates to exit plans, there is actually an event, Rhonda, that you were participating in. It's this Saturday, a virtual event at First Baptist Church. Kind of give me the rundown of what's going to happen on Saturday.
Yes, yes. We are having our second annual Exit Plan Symposium being hosted by my employer, the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, Pastor John K. Jenkins. And the symposium will have multiple guests, attorneys, insurance, financial planners, just funeral homes, cemeteries, a little bit of everybody. But we're going to be talking about how to get your plan in order, because we know that there's more to a plan than the most important part, which is the will and all the legal documents. But your family, when I talk about having the family conversation, your family needs to know what your wishes are. Your family needs to know, you know, where you want to be buried, all that kind of stuff. So that's the conversation that you need to have with your family. But for the exit plan, symposium. It's a free event. You'll be able to register at fbcglenarden.org/exit plan. And the registration is open. You can register. It will be on the church website, which is www.fbcglenarden.org. And we're just going to have a good time in getting our affairs in order.
So we're going to have a good time talking about death and life.
That's right. Yeah, but you know what? The thing really, you know, we don't want to focus on death. We want to focus on living. So if you take care of the business of dying now, then you can focus on living. I had a guy that was expecting a lung transplant. He was so worried that he was going to die before he got his affairs in order. And after we got everything in place, that joker lived for 3 more years, and that was the happiest 3 years of his life. Okay. He was so happy because he did not worry about dying. Mm. And so, you know, our goal, Pastor Jenkins is just such a community person. On top of taking care of all the members, he also wants to help the community. But our goal is to have a plan which will remove the stress of making decisions under pressure and the time of strong emotion. So you know when somebody died, you know, you just all over the place.
Yes.
But if you take care of all this stuff now, then when that time comes, all you got to do is pull that little package out. Everything is right here, and it's a done deal. You know where they want to be buried. You know what funeral home they want to use. You don't have to go out trying to find the funeral home that grandma used 40 years ago, because you already know. And so everything is in place, and that's the purpose of an exit plan, so that your family not have to stress at the last minute.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about your exit plan, how to get your end-of-life affairs in order, the financials and the logistics and everything else. If you have a comment, if you have a question about it, give us a call. Don't be afraid. It's all going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. Yes,
One day
we all are going to die. One day,
You know, that's right. And I know, we make light of it, but certainly it is very serious business. If not the actual loss of a loved one, but the seriousness of the financial complications if they do not leave instructions. And right. Muriel, what happens if someone dies without a will?
Well, it all depends on where you live, but and then it also depends on where you live, what your marital state is, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child. But the key thing to remember is if you die without a will, then your assets and the transfer of your assets becomes very complicated. And the ability for your loved ones or those who you desire to have access to these items is complicated by municipalities getting involved, the judicial process, the expense, et cetera. And in some instances, you know, unless your family has $10,000 just sitting in a bank account, the ability to even put you to rest timely can be adversely impacted because death is an expense. And unfortunately, it is the only expense that you cannot finance. Death is a cash and carry business. So you want to make sure that you have a will. You want to make sure that deposit accounts, simple things, deposit accounts that you have at financial institutions are set up where you have PODs, payable upon death, so that those funds will transfer immediately to family members and loved ones because they're going to need immediate access to cash, that there's an itemization of where these funds are. So there's a lot that happens if you don't have a will and if you don't have directions. If you haven't properly assigned your accounts, banks will automatically put holds on funds. They actually have individuals that read the obituary every day and freeze accounts. Mm. So that's their job. Now, their role, the technical role, is to protect the assets of the deceased to ensure that those assets are correctly deployed.
Yeah, but it sounds like a very, very complicated process. And, you know, I'm sure there is a, you know, that saying, if there is no will, there is no way, or at least not immediately. We're going to take a break.
Right, but you're absolutely right.
But when you... We want to let you know that, of course, you can hear this and every discussion via podcast on WHUR.com. It's posted every night before 9 o'clock. Also, the information that we've discussed about the event on Saturday will be posted on our website as well. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm on WHUR is next. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. We are continuing our conversation about getting your end-of-life affairs in order. Are you ready with your exit plan? My guests are Rhonda Green, founder and author of the book My Exit Plan. Also with us, Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So one of the more difficult questions a lot of people have when they're trying to figure out this process, Rhonda, is how do you select someone, that go-to person, formerly known as perhaps the executor of the estate, the manager of your affairs, whatever you want to put it. How do you go about picking that person?
That is a tough, tough question. You just have to really, for me, you have to pray about it. You can't always use your children because they may not be responsible enough to make right decisions for you. It might be your best friend. It may be another relative. But you have to choose someone that when you look at their lifestyle, you want someone that makes wise decisions for themselves, and prayerfully they'll make wise decisions for you. So that's a really, really tough question, but, you know, you just got to pray about it and make sure that, you know. And then the other thing is that the court will oversee. So if they're doing something that's not right, you know, the judge may say, okay, we need to remove this person. And sometimes they will appoint an attorney to go, you know, to handle the affairs of the estate if things are not going well with the executor.
I would imagine you'd have to sit down and talk to them about it, because there have been times when a loved one may have passed away and then an unsuspecting relative may find out that they are or were selected as the executor of that estate. So it, I would imagine, you know, Muriel, maybe you need to ask first.
Well, and it's not just an unsuspected loved one or family member. I've been aware of situations and circumstances. You can have the best laid out plan, but if you don't have a...
Muriel? We've lost Muriel. We'll try to get her back. Rhonda, I'll have you pick up in talking to that person and sitting down so that they are not surprised if
Definitely.
You pass away.
Yeah, you want to talk to the person and you want to make sure, like I've said to my granddaughter, listen, out of all of my grandkids, you're the most level-headed. You know what I want out of life. You know what I want when I die. So you're in L.A. She's the one that I have chosen to be the executor of my estate. Now, I do have an in-state person that will handle all the other little things, but that's how I made my decision. I looked at who was the most responsible person. So you have to talk to that person about it to make sure, one, that they're willing to carry out that job, because it is a job. And you want to make sure that it's someone that they're going to be comfortable with possibly going up against other family members.
Hmm. Okay.
Not only other family members, it could be other organizations, because you may say that, you know, you want to leave X number of dollars to support a particular charity or a group of charities. And then they may, you know, it's amazing what happens when you're not there and your voice is not there. So you need someone who is going to be as steadfast and committed as you would be as you're sitting at the table determining what's going to happen with what it is you accumulated during your lifetime.
Okay, so Rhonda, I just got a message. And Rolanda says, wills are great, but if the decedent owns property, it can get tied up in probate for estate tax purposes. Wills should only be for immediate end-of-life administration, i.e. funerals, etc. It's best to have a revocable power trust pitting all assets in the trust. It cannot be taxed, and the trustee can distribute the proceeds of the trust to the intended recipient. That's a whole bunch of stuff.
I'm going to leave that for the attorney. I do have a trust, and I have a will. And I have a trust because I have a disabled son, but I also have a blended family. So just being transparent, I want to know that my son is cared for when I'm gone, blended family or not. So my home is in my trust. My insurance is in my trust. Everything I have is in my trust.
What
so
is a trust?
Can be cared for. But I'm going to defer that to the attorney.
Oh, wow.
And a trust works particularly if you have children, because children cannot necessarily inherit property. But what the message was, Harold, that you received, when you're talking about actually disposing of real estate, having a trust actually is more advisable versus having all of that listed in the will.
What's the difference?
Well, the will, of course, outlines exactly what it is that you would like to have done, but the trust actually is a living document. It can be changed during any time. You can set up the whatever the assets are in the trust, which makes it a lot easier to convey those assets over to whoever the benefactor is, versus going through probate, et cetera, with a will, going before the court, having the court in your business. Because the other thing that we have to also be mindful of is that when we die, some of these documents become public, and a lot of people don't want their personal business to become public. Anything that goes before the court becomes public.
Okay, help me with that. because and I must say, you know, the last time we had this discussion on this program, I asked the same question and I still did not get clarity. A will is public, a trust is private. Is that right?
A will, if it has to go before if it goes to probate,
right?
Anything that goes before a judge is public. Becomes public.
Okay. But if a will has to go before a judge, if you have a will and a trust, which I'm assuming that is often the case.
Those are two separate documents.
Right. So if the will has to, right. So if the will goes before the court, are you telling me that the trust will not?
Well, items that are set up in the trust, actually, the trust is actually active at the time that the trust goes into play. Items. So if I'm going to set up a trust for let's say I'm setting up a trust for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I set the trust up and you are the trustee to the couple pieces of real estate that I have, which I could change at any time. So you're in trust. I transition. I use that word versus exit.
I mean, if you die, let's be clear. If you die, let's not get caught up in. I want to make sure that people understand what's happening. You have died. Okay.
I die.
Yes.
I die.
Yes.
You have ownership via the trust. If all I had was a will, and I die, you've got to go to the court. Then you've got to approach the lender. Particularly if the properties aren't paid for,
mm-hmm.
Get the deeds transferred. All of that stuff in a trust is already done, and it's not going to be that expense that you're going to have to go through doing.
Do you know? Can you tell me why that is? Because I think one of the questions that I keep asking is, for those who are not familiar with the process, everybody says, you got to have a will, got to have a will, got to have a will. I have a will. But now you tell me I need to have a trust. Why do
so
I have to have a
trust?
And why isn't the will good enough?
So you want me to, why isn't the will good enough? Now, I can give you my personal two cents on that.
Well, just help me out here because like I said.
Death is a revenue generator.
So you say again.
You know me well. Death is a revenue generator.
Right.
And so whatever a municipality can make off of the death tax, then that's what they're going to do. And as our other guest has said, that if we die without our paperwork in order, it is going to be costly. And it's costly because of the death tax that comes in various forms, to include probate, petitioning the court, transferring deeds, et cetera, holding on to assets. If those things are set up and clearly itemized in a trust, you don't have to worry about that.
Help me with this
all
real quick.
All the costs associated with setting up the trust and all of that, that's done in advance of the death.
Help me with this real quick, because I'm trying to make it clear for people who are not familiar. And I think, you know, Rolanda may have gotten close to that. The will is for your last instruction. The trust is a financial document. Is that correct?
The will could also be a financial document. Because the will can also note that I want these deposit accounts to go here, that I want these bills to be paid off with the life insurance. So for those who are not as sophisticated, that information is also included in the will.
I think this is one of the reasons why people need to attend this event on Saturday. Because this is a really complicated issue.
And
but the simple way to think about it is, again, the will, what's in the will doesn't go into effect until you die.
Okay.
The trust is a living document, again, and it takes effect as soon as you create it. So everything that's in the trust is active at the time that that trust is created. Everything that's in the will is not active until you die.
So what's the purpose of the trust?
The trust allows...
You understand why this is, because forgive me for being so persistent about
maybe
this.
Maybe this will help him. Let me say this. So for a person that may have a small estate, a car, a bank account, maybe with or without a POD, a car, a house, a little bit of furniture, maybe a piece of artwork or something. You know, they may not see that as enough to really put into a trust, or they may not feel that they need a trust. You know, I have a daughter. She has a couple of kids. She has a will, because what she does own, it's that she doesn't have a mansion on the hill, but she does, you know, she owns a few things.
Houses and lands.
She wants to make sure that they're evenly distributed between her children. So she has a will. Now, I did have her to do a POD on her bank account, because I explained to her, when you die, that money is going to have to go through probate in order for them to pay your rent, your mortgage, your car note, whatever. But if you put the POD on it, then the probate court does not touch that. The bank will give them the money up front.
But that POD POD is at the bank. Is that correct?
At the bank. So
beneficiaries or the like, correct?
Right. So you're talking about the will. The will is so that someone can – let me just share this with you real quick. I just had a situation where there was a disabled person that had a power of attorney. Well, we all know the power of attorney dies when the person dies. So she did not have a beneficiary on her life insurance policy because her dad died who was the beneficiary. So then I had to get in touch with Sarita A. Lee, Registered Wills for Prince George's County, and her office set up an estate. So now we had to appoint this family member as the executor of the estate so that she could get the insurance money to have the funeral. She didn't have a will, but we had to go to the court in order to make that happen. So back to the will. If you have a car, any belongings, just have some kind of will, so that your family will be able to say, this is how it's going to be distributed, and you don't have to worry about it being tied up in the courts for 2 or 3 years, and then nobody gets it because the taxes eat it up.
So here's my other question about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a will, why would it have to go through the court? And again, this goes back to the question I asked before. If we are telling people you've got to have a will and leaving instructions, what I'm hearing is you have to have a will and a trust.
Well, the because, trust is if you have real property. If you have real property, real estate, you really should have a trust. It's more advantageous to you. If you've got real estate, you should have a trust. If you've got young children that you're going to be leaving assets to, you should set up a trust, because it makes it easier for them to actually take possession, because the trust then will own it on behalf of the young people, of the child. The will, the court, the purpose of the, so we're thinking about this as if everybody was straight up honest. So the court actually validates the legitimacy of the will.
Okay.
And the legal transfer of the belongings of the deceased.
Okay. And so if you're saying that if everybody has a will, okay, let me, I'm trying to walk us through this. And that's why I'm asking these really specific questions. Mm-hmm. Because the reason that the event is happening on Saturday and the reason that we're having this discussion is because, Rhonda, as you know, there are a lot of people who don't have it.
Correct.
And you know, death is expensive, but getting this together isn't cheap either when you're alive, because it does involve lawyers and getting it done the right way is really, really critical. And so if you have, does a will automatically go to court when somebody dies if there is no trust?
Depending, this all depends on the state.
So let's take the state. Let's take the state of Maryland. Let's take the state of Maryland. If I have a bona fide will and I die, but I have no trust, but I leave all of these detailed instructions in the will, does it still have to go to court?
Yes, it has to go to court. And another thing, if you have a mansion on the hill, so to speak, as she's saying, you're going to want a trust, because let me tell you about a will. Your sister, brother, mother, father, anyone, other family members can come in and say, that's not what he told me. And now they're before a judge. And the whole thing would be changed.
Exactly.
So you're saying if the will is contested.
It can be contested.
But a trust cannot be?
Trust can't, because the trust goes into effect at the moment that the trust is executed, not at death.
So here's my other question. If the trust goes into effect at the moment that it's executed, but no one sees it other than me.
Well, then that's another yes. That's
their
problem.
Well, no, because that's because what you're saying is a will goes into effect when I die. But if the trust is a living document, but nobody knows what's in it, just like nobody knows what's in my will.
That becomes another. That's, you're absolutely, and Harold, that is a very valid question. And that's where that is such a valid question. That's why it's really important that you have someone that you trust, or your family attorney, someone where these documents are filed, so that when you do die, that will be the individual that actually can pull out the documents and go to the family and say, these are the documents that were filed. Otherwise, you have situations where family members will say, well, I don't know about any documents. And then the next thing they'll say, well, he died without a will. He died without any trust. And then everybody's standing up in court fighting about everything. And then you have a lawyer that shows up and says, well, hold up, wait a minute. Here are all the documents.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get to. So if the lawyer shows up with a document that nobody other than the lawyer has seen, I'm assuming, and you can help me with this, that because the trust was a living document done while I was alive, that there are certain certifications, verifications that will make the family that is contesting the will to make their argument moot.
Yes, because the trust is also a legal document that has gone through a legal process. That doesn't mean that the lawyer comes up and the lawyer provides the trust and everybody's going to chill out and they're going to accept that these were his final wishes. Oh, we didn't know that he had this in place. Because in those instances, there's still going to be drama, because somebody's going to say, well, we didn't even know who this attorney was. There's all of this that goes with that, which is why what First Baptist is hosting Saturday is so important. Not only the documents, but as I heard her say, having that conversation. You've got to find somebody that you can trust, that you can have the conversation with, that they at least know at the 10,000-foot level, there's some documents that were filed.
This is the person who is the keeper of those documents. So when you do die, some of that drama actually goes out the window.
Which goes back to the original question of sitting down and talking to somebody about it, which requires a great deal of balance and finesse, because you may want to have an announcement and saying, Cousin Peanut will be the executor of my will. And so just be aware. And if something happens to Cousin Peanut in the days, weeks, or months after I die, then Cousin Cashew will be the second person, so that everybody kind of knows.
So that everybody knows, but you have to be mindful, what the relationship is with your family members and how they're going to respond. Because
it starts to get special because
they start counting. And let me just say this. I had another young lady. I got a phone call 10 o'clock at night to go to the hospital. The lady had been told she was very coherent. And she was told that she would more than likely transition by morning. So my phone call was, what can you do? I went to the hospital. I'm a notary. I said, I'm not an attorney. I cannot write your will, but you can write it yourself. She wrote out what her wishes were. I notarized it. The doctor was so bothered by her daughter's behavior when she came up in the hospital that the doctor and the nurse, two nurses, witnessed the document. I notarized it, took it to the court, and it was accepted as her last will and testament, written out on a piece of white Xerox copy paper, signed, witnessed, notarized. And everything that she put in there was carried out. So I'm
But just, was it contested? But did the daughter contest it?
She attempted to, but there was nothing to contest.
Let me ask a real quick question.
Go ahead.
I have another quick question, and this is from Bobby, about marriage and assets. When the assets are in both names and one of the spouses dies, do the assets go to the surviving spouse?
Depends on how it's titled. If it's a piece of property, and if I'm not mistaken, correct me, if it's tenants in entirety, I believe.
And what does that mean?
That means that, if I die, if my house is in my name and my husband's name and I die, then it becomes his house solely.
Okay. And what's the alternative?
So then I can't think of the other, the way that it can be titled, but there is another way that says that if I die, you got your portion, my estate gets my portion. And however my will is set up, however I divide my portion, is how it's divided.
I'm going to do my best not to go anywhere. I'm just
Well, you're going. So you're going to get your house in order. So you're going home with the rest of us.
But the best thing, in having this conversation is actually looking at, what it is that you want to have done, and then determining now how you can title things, because there are ways that you can title things even while you're living, so that when you die, you don't have to worry about how those assets are transferred. And, the goal is to not only have a death tax, but is also to avoid an inheritance tax also.
So, and all of that would be figured out in the trust.
So transferring things beforehand helps to eliminate a lot of the taxes that come with dying.
And maybe one of the first steps, if you have multiple bank accounts, whether you have a few quarters in it or thousands of dollars, maybe is just making sure that the beneficiary information is correct.
Correct. Making sure you've got the PODs and that it is correct. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rhonda, like you said, you know, praying on it. I'm just going to keep praying on it so that I don't have to. Lord, can you just keep me from going anywhere?
But you know what? I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you to make a decision sooner than later. And then you can continue to pray. You can amend your will as many times as you want to and go back and change it from Mary Jane to Sally Sue, the peanuts, and all the rest of
and cashew, yes.
But you have to do something now. We have had so many people to die during this COVID season. But guess what? People are dying from cancer. People are dying from kidney failure. People are just dying. And it is overwhelming. And as the funeral manager at First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, I have just seen so much death since March that I just want to go hide my head. But I'm telling you, the people that are going that do not have their affairs in order, it's devastating to the family.
Yeah, it, I can imagine.
When they find these things out.
Well, so you know, I have a will, but I don't have a trust. And so one of the other big issues that I'm sure will be addressed on Saturday is how much is it going to cost to talk to an attorney to do this? Because
Takesha Morgan will be talking about that.
Okay.
She's an attorney with the Griffin firm, PLLC. And she'll be talking about trusts and wills and pour over wills and all of that stuff. So I'm sure they'll get some great information. Mm. And I just want everybody to walk away with, you know, a plan to do something.
Yes, indeed. Well, I want to thank both of you, Rhonda Green and Muriel Garr, for talking to us about this very, very important information. And, of course, we encourage people to check out WHUR.com before 9 o'clock tonight. The information and the link will be there for this event on Saturday. So, again, ladies, thank you so very, very much, and stay safe.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum. For this Wednesday, July 15th, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.